Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.
Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's message is a tribute to my mentor, my pastor, and my friend, Dr. Gregory J. Dixon, who will always be considered one of Indiana's all-time greatest preacher, teacher, author, and theologian. Achieving a greatness like that of evangelist Billy Sunday and Isaac McCoy. Isaac McCoy was a prominent early 19th century Baptist missionary to the Native American Indians. Dr. Dixon was a man of impeccable character and integrity. He did not shrink back when the time came to speak the mind of Christ on the many pressing moral issues of his day and age. He would take up the mantle and lead the charge through the uncharted waters of adversity, as long as it would bring glory to the Son of God and defend the pure, undefiled Word of God. He was beloved by thousands and feared by the hell-bent workers of iniquity. Dr. Dixon labored earnestly for his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who saved him when he was a young orphan boy. A soon-to-be-released autobiography, The Boy with No Name, describes the turbulent childhood he endured until he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. His late pastor, Art Wilson, guided him to go on to Bible College, which was the newly formed Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, where he and the late Jerry Falwell were classmates and longtime friends. Dr. Dixon passionately adored his Lord and the Lord's church. He was immensely burdened to defend the sovereignty of Christ over his church, and he often taught on the subject, the Lordship of Jesus Christ over his bride. He strived to keep it pure, without spot, holy, and blameless with the washing of water by the Word of God. The movement he started was aptly entitled the Unregistered Baptist Church Fellowship, or sometimes informally called the Free Church Movement. Dr. Dixon, as a young man, became the pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple in 1955 and labored tirelessly to build the young church to be a beacon of truth in the heart of Indiana. In 1971, Indianapolis Baptist Temple was nationally recognized as the 11th largest church in America. The congregation, led by Dr. Dixon, tirelessly labored alongside their pastor to build a huge bus ministry that traversed almost every street in Indianapolis, transporting thousands of children and adults to services every Sunday. Over the many decades, untold tens of thousands of people came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and many were baptized in the church's baptistry. Dr. Dixon reached a multitude of others through the medium of radio, television, and in print. Many preacher boys and missionaries came out of the temple during those surging years of growth, including the establishment of many Baptist churches across Indiana. In the mid-1980s, 700 miles from Indianapolis, as a young engineer, I learned of Dr. Dixon and the Unregistered Church Movement via newsprint before I was even saved. And before I was saved, I heard Dr. Dixon give a God and Government presentation in Nashville, Tennessee, in the late 80s. Naturally, after I received Christ as my Savior via the medium of radio, I myself was drawn to Indianapolis, Dr. Dixon, and the Bible College he established. A year after I came to Indianapolis, I was honored to have him perform the marriage ceremony for my wife and I. As the Apostle Paul sat at the feet of his great mentor, Gamaliel, I had the pleasure to sit at the feet of Dr. Greg Dixon, gleaning as much as I could absorb from a giant of a man of God as he was. He was not afraid of controversy as long as he was fighting for a valiant cause for Christ. He knew Jesus was his commander-in-chief and the captain of his salvation. Dr. Dixon loved the Holy Bible and all the doctrinal truths found between its pages, and was willing to allow God to reveal to him new truths as he searched the Scriptures, as he grew older and wiser, even at the cost of losing all earthly possessions and prestige among his peers. As long as he apprehended a closer relationship with Christ and the knowledge of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Dr. Gregory J. Dixon was truly a saint in every sense of the word. He was admired by many, and his writings will long outlast his life and be treasured by multitudes in the years to come as more turbulent days come upon the churches. Dr. Dixon's worth and contribution to the churches may not be fully felt until the return of Christ. because of the many naysayers who failed to heed his ample warnings of the pending judgment at the judgment seat of Christ upon the late 20th and 21st century adulterous Laodicean churches of America. Hear the words of God. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The Bible goes on to say, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The true, unblemished church falls under his name and his name only, and is the called out assembly of faithful believers, also known as the body of Christ. Dr. Dixon's parting word to me was to warn the preachers not to forget to preach on the ever-looming torment of hell for the ungodly. The King James Bible says it best, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." Dr. Gregory J. Dixon went home to be with his Lord this past October 20th, 2019, at the age of 87, spending almost 70 of those years serving his King. Well done, Dr. Dixon, for you shall hear those precious words from your blessed and only potentate, and you shall wear a crown and sit upon a throne with your Lord whom ye love so dearly and served so faithfully on this side of death. You will be greatly missed here. We know that you cannot come to us, but we will come to you. Dr. Dixon is survived by his lovely wife, Wanda, who served alongside of him for 66 years. He is also survived by his 3 children, 9 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. Please enjoy this morning's message by Dr. Dixon. His last sermon that he ever preached in the pulpit was preached at Crown of Life Baptist Church this past August on the 25th, entitled Signs of Christ's Return. No one, and I mean no one, loved to preach more on this topic of Christ's return than Dr. Dixon. Dr. Dixon's mind was amazingly sharp right up to his last breath. He suffered for decades in his physical body. However, not so anymore, as he is wonderfully comforted in paradise in the bosom of Abraham. Please keep his wife and family in your prayers. God bless you, my friends, as you listen to today's timely message. This is part 2.
I want to show you something. Turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. Let me read you something here real quick. This is an amazing verse of scripture here. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now, he's not suggesting that we put false prophets to death today. I'm not suggesting that. But we're certainly to put them away. So, you want to take your Bible back, please? So, the point I'm making is, the scripture says that God himself allows these false prophets to rise up to test us, to see if we will continue to be faithful to him. Look at all these healers and prosperity preachers on television today with huge crowds, and their auditoriums are filled, packed, raking in incredible amounts of money. A nurse came in to see my wife the other day and ask her about being saved. And she had ordered all of the books from one of these women preachers that's on television. And she had all of her books, and there wasn't one single thing in all of those books that would have told her how to be saved and go to heaven. Well, let me just give you one example. In my opinion, T.D. Jakes is one of the greatest preachers, just for pure preaching, that I've ever heard in my life. Just for pure preaching, the ability to preach. Do you know what he believes? Now listen, what did Paul the Apostle say? If any come to you with any other gospel, let him be accursed. With any other gospel. Do you know what T.D. Jakes believes? He doesn't preach it on TV. But do you know what he believes? Do you know that T.D. Jakes is a Jesus-only Pentecostal? A Jesus-only Pentecostal believes? He believes that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus only and speak in tongues in order to be saved and go to heaven. That's what a Jesus-only Pentecostal believes. But listening to T.D. Jakes on television, you would never know that. But that's what he believes. Look at Joel Osteen. He is a prosperity preacher. He lives in a multi-million dollar home. His guest house is worth millions of dollars. He drives an automobile. He's got several automobiles that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Those cars that are worth who knows how much they're worth. Because prosperity preachers have to prove their message is working. They have to prove that their message is working. I was watching one of those healers on TV one day, and he had some woman that had a short leg, and he sat there and says, look at this leg growing, and the leg was supposed to have grown out to full length right there in front of everybody. I made a study of all this when I was in Bible college. I went to those healing meetings. You know what they'd do? They'd get them in line. Those worst cases, they'd get them in line. But then they'd get them out of line before they'd get up to the healer. I was sitting behind this man, and he was holding his little boy, and the little boy was cross-eyed. And I was sitting right behind him. And I was looking at the little boy, and the little boy was cross-eyed, and he took the little boy and got him down in line, and he went through, and the healer, this was Jack Coe, and he went back down and got the little boy in line, and Coe prayed for the little boy, and the man was standing down there afterwards, and I went down there, and I talked to the man afterwards, and he was standing there, and he was holding his little boy, and I went up there, and I looked at the little boy, and the little boy was cross-eyed. And I said to the man, I said, oh, did your little boy get healed? And, oh, yes, oh, my little boy got healed. I said, well, sir, he still looks the same way that he looked. I thought he was going to kill me. Actually, I thought the man was going to kill me. I got out of the way. I thought he was going to hit me right there. I remember when Oral Roberts came to Indianapolis. And after the meeting was over, he put out a magazine. And right on the front page of the magazine was a young lady that was a member of our church. Right on the front page of the magazine. And it says that she got healed. And Brother Damron was one of our associate pastors. And I said, hey, Brother Ernie. I said, look here, one of our members got healed in Oral Roberts' meeting. I said, let's go out to their house and visit her. So he got in the car and we drove out toward Wanamaker, and we went up to the door and we went into the house and we said, we want to rejoice with you. And we had the magazine and we said, we want to rejoice with you. Well, she hadn't gotten healed. She was in the same condition as she was. Same condition. Some of you remember Lindsay Brock. He had gone blind. But he wanted to be healed so bad, and he got somebody to take him down to Kentucky, and he heard there was a big healer down there, and he took him down there and took him to a healer, and he paid him some big money. I don't know how much he paid him, but he never got healed. I'm not saying God doesn't heal. God healed me. God healed my daughter. Bone cancer. I'm not saying God doesn't heal. But my friends, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of deception going on. I'm going to give you just a few stories real quick. When is Christ coming back? When is he coming? We don't know. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 25, 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And yet back in the middle of the 19th century, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists started. You know how these cults got started? Because there was a farmer by the name of Miller. They called the Millerites. He set a date, and people actually sold everything they had, put on what they called ascension robes, went out on a mountain waiting for the coming of Christ. And then he said, well, he was wrong on the date, set another date. And out of that came these cults. And literally thousands of people have joined those cults, all because of one man, and Miller was a good man. He was a godly, clean, living man, all because he set dates for the coming of Christ. I remember 1950. I would walk to high school. Back in those days, they had little boxes for the newspapers. And I was standing there, and I saw the headlines of the Wichita Eagle. It was owned by some Jews, and they were mocking, Jesus is coming today. And I remember the hair literally stood up on the back of my head, neck. I saw that headline, the headline of the newspaper, Jesus is coming today. Some idiot had predicted that Jesus was coming on that very date. And the newspaper was mocking it. Laughing, mocking. Do you ever remember back in 1988, a fellow by the name of Wissenit put out a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988. How many remember that book? Oh my. He sold, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands of those books. 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Today. I'd like to know if anybody has any idea where you could buy one of those books today. Preachers preached from the pulpit. Actually preached that book from the pulpit. And yet what did Jesus say? If Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, how would he know? How would Wisnet know? And just recently, we found out that a man by the name of Camping, who was a good man, he's won a lot of people to the Lord. He predicted that Jesus was coming back in 2011. And there were some people, where were they, in Vietnam, Brother Greg?
North Vietnam.
In communist North Vietnam, these people were called the Hoang people. Ignorant Hoang people. But they were Christians in communist North Vietnam. And somehow they had heard the shortwave radio of Camping. And they heard his prediction that he was coming back in 2011. And they believed it. And again, they sold everything, the little bit that they had, and they went out and they stood on the mountain waiting for Jesus to come because camping had given a specific date. And you know what? And there were thousands of them. And you know what the communists did? They went out there and killed them all. They went out there and killed them all. So you're crazy. You people are crazy. They killed them. How would you like to be camping? Who was a believer? No question, camping was a believer. Camping has won multitudes of people for Christ. He preached the gospel. But how would you like to be him and have to face those people when he stands at the judgment seat of Christ? Many false prophets. He didn't preach a false Christ. Camping didn't preach a false gospel, but he was a false prophet. How is Christ coming? He's coming as a thief. That's why he says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known..." Now I want you to notice that word, good man. See, all of these words are pregnant with meaning. If the good man, not the bad man, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The slothful man is not watching. A lazy man does not watch. A drunkard doesn't watch. It's only the good man that's watching.
You've been listening to Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula@gmail.com to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.